Let's take our Bibles this morning. I plan to preach this morning out of the book of Proverbs, but I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 20. I'd like to continue our study in Proverbs, and my plans this morning is to preach this first service out of the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. I'm going to preach in verses 1 to 3, and then the second service I want to preach verses 4 to 6. So the two messages this morning will be out of the book of Proverbs. But I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20. And I'd like to read, beginning in verse 22, Acts 20, beginning in verse 22. The apostle says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me or wait for me. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry, which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Let's pray together. Our Father, how good it is to be able to call upon your holy name. And Lord, to with a heart that has been made sensitive, made alive, to be able to thank you and praise you. Oh, how good it is to just savor the mercy of God in the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Lord, would you bless this service today? Bless our hearts. Cause us to behold Christ and to rest in Him for Christ's sake. Amen. I've entitled this message, "All the Counsel of God." I want you to take your Bibles now. Turn back to Proverbs, chapter 13. Just hold it right there. We'll begin looking at them in a minute. But thinking back on that scripture that we just read, Paul said, "I've not shunned to preach, to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Now I know that there are some secret things concerning God's counsel. The secret things belong to God. But those things that are revealed, and that's what I'm talking about. Some things that are revealed concerning the counsel of God. Paul said, "I'm free from the blood of all men." Oh, the responsibility that a preacher has to preach the truth. To tell men, tell women the truth of what God Almighty has to say. And to declare unto them the whole counsel of God. Now when it comes right down to it, you'll ask yourself this, and you know this answer. What is the whole counsel of God? It's the gospel of God's grace. It's the message of God's sovereign grace in the purposing, in the redeeming, in the keeping, in the saving of His elect. That's the whole counsel of God. Now you know it's the whole counsel of God because Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel. When we hear the gospel preached, the very fiber of that message is going to declare man's total depravity. The very fiber of the message, none good, no, not one. God forbid that I ever step out of this pulpit and one say, you know, I just don't think that I heard that man was totally depraved in that message. I just don't think that Marvin truly set forth. You know, it just seemed as though to me that when he preached, it seems as though to me that he was saying that man can do something to merit his salvation before God. God forbid that when I stand and declare the gospel, that man is given any credit whatsoever in his salvation. In the very fiber of that gospel, you're going to hear of God's electing grace. God hath, the apostle said from the beginning, chosen you to salvation. Through sanctification of the Spirit, by the Spirit of God, setting you apart. Setting you apart for God. Setting you apart for His glory. Setting you apart for His mercy, His compassion. The very fiber of the message is going to be reeking with. Let me say it like, you'll distinctively hear God is a God of election. He does what He does on purpose. Nothing concerning luck. Isn't it comforting to know that what God has purposed to do, He's going to do it. He's going to save His people. When you hear the gospel, the whole counsel of God, you're going to hear particular redemption. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, I lay down my life for the sheep, did He not do what He said He was going to do? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He's going to say, all that the Father giveth me, oh, I love this word, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise. You have a heart this morning that I need Him. I need Him. I need Thee every hour. Oh, gracious Lord, have mercy on me. I have nothing. I have nothing to offer. I just have become so disappointed in myself. I need mercy. Lord, would you have mercy on me? We've got His word on this. I will in no wise cast you out. Lord, that's so comforting. When the gospel is preached, the whole counsel of God, when the gospel is preached, irresistible grace, you're going to hear that. Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power. Believers, the obvious images of the mercy of God. Some folks sitting here this morning that I'm convinced God has shown mercy to. And you come to Christ, and you come to Christ, He that cometh. That's progressive. That's present progressive. He that cometh to me. You're coming right now. In your heart, you're thinking, Lord, it's so good to come to you. Lord, it's so good to be able to, in my heart, call on you. It's so good to be able to thank you. It's so good to be able to need you. Lord, it's so good to love you. Lord, thank you that you drew me to the place this morning. You gave me a heart. I want to be here. I want to hear. I want to listen. When the whole counsel of God is preached, you're going to hear that God Almighty keeps His people by power. Preservation of the saints. I know this. I know I can't keep myself. I've disappointed myself so much. I'm not talking about in the past. I mean, I just did. Just disappointed myself. Thinking to myself, not just what I should have done, what I did. Not just what I obviously committed in my heart, but what I should have done that I didn't do. Sins of commission and omission, kept by the power of God. Kept for Christ's sake. Kept for His honor. Kept according to God's purpose. Kept by my sin being put away by blood. This is the gospel that we preach. Paul said, I've not shunned to preach unto you the whole counsel of God. When I leave, step out of this pulpit, I'm already so guilty of just wondering, was I playing? Did they understand what I said? Did I set forth that which was honoring to Him? And oh, how I think again of the grace of God, the forgiveness of sin. Thankful. A gospel that gives no credit to anything that man does to establish or to preserve his own salvation. That's the gospel of God's grace. That's the whole counsel of God. That's all we've got. That's all we need. God's grace from Himself and to Himself in the salvation, redemption of His elect. Nothing according to man's power. Any merit or effort on man's part is going to make grace to not be grace. Listen to this scripture. Paul said in Romans 11:6, and if by grace. Now remember this. When we talk about the grace of God, it's Christ. Christ is the grace of God. You take it by grace, you just take that word and just put Christ right. And if by Christ, it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Here's what he said. Grace is by Christ. Unmerited favor in Christ. Grace means not of works. Works means you did something. Either grace means grace, or grace doesn't mean grace. Works means something that you did, something that you accepted, something that you performed. Something. It's not of works. Why? Because I'm going to boast in it. Men think they don't, but they do. They do. Oh, they may not openly say something to you, but in their heart they did. I'm a Christian because I. Whatever comes after that. Well, when the Holy Spirit is pleased to call a sinner out of darkness, spiritual darkness, it's not merely an outward reform in that sinner's life. It's not just a new influence that is placed within the old nature. Nothing is done to the old nature in salvation. Nothing changes. That which is flesh, flesh. That which is flesh, is flesh. What it is, there's a brand new creation. given. You're born again. There's now two natures in a believer. There's a new heart. There's a new spirit. Paul said in Ephesians 4:24 that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That new nature that we've looked at scriptures that says it does not sin. It doesn't sin. Now you know the way I know that is because God's Word says it so. Because I'm going to be real honest with you. When I look and I try to see that nature that doesn't sin, let me tell you the one I see. One that does. That's what I see. But I know this. I know that I can believe God. He's given me a heart. I know He's given me a love for Him. I love Him. God's people know that they love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. You think right now, the gospel that we hear, the gospel that exalts Christ and honors Christ, do you love that gospel? I know that there's some here that do. I know they do. I know they do. I know that there's a love for Christ. And I know that you struggle every morning, every evening, every day. You struggle. When this new creation actually takes place as a new understanding within that sinner, concerning God's compassion. You see what you never saw before. Now there was a time when you, and it doesn't matter if you grew up in this church or you came out of false religion like so many of us did. There was a time when you sat under this gospel, but you still didn't see Him. You knew and could give evidence of the difference between Arminianism and Calvinism. You could argue the point, but you had no love for it. You were proud because you went to Katy Baptist Church and others didn't. They're lost. We're not. We have Brother Scott here as our preacher. Y'all don't. But somewhere along the line, when it pleased God, Paul said, who separated me from my mother's womb, stopped you on your road to Damascus, wherever you were, wherever you were going, going to be serving God, and God stopped you and showed you what you are. And now, these many years, He's been pleased to teach you something. And the more He teaches you, the more you realize, oh, how little I know. Now, Proverbs 13. Let's look at verses 1 to 3 and consider the marvel of God's grace and mercy in the revelation of His purpose within His people. Let's just look for just a minute at the effect of what the whole counsel of God declares is so. Here's the first thing I know. God Almighty is merciful and gracious. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A wise son heareth his father's chastisement. That's what that word means. For whom the Lord loveth, He chastens, teaches him. Told you about when my kids disobedient. I'd never spank them for a mistake. That was a mistake. But I know. I mean, you know, I can start picking up on rebellion pretty quickly. See it too much in myself. and for disobedience or rebellion. I'm going to have to chase them, not because I hated them, because I loved them. The Scripture sets forth, here's the mercy of God's grace. Paul said, I'm not shunned to declare the whole gospel of God, counsel of God, gospel of grace. Here's the evidence. Here's the mercy of God evidence. A wise son, hear it. You hear it. If you stop for just a minute and realize, I hear this man. I hear. I hear with understanding. I hear with joy. Being dead in trespasses and sins of the sinner, he can't hear. He don't want to hear. He's dead. Spiritually dead to the voice of the Lord. Before Almighty God gave you ears to hear. And here's how you hear. Corporately, we have an ear right here. A new heart, a new ear, a new mouth, a new eye. It's from a new heart. That's how you hear. You hear from a new heart. To hear the Father's instruction is to hear the voice of the Savior. These are not my words. I'm reading you something out of God's Word. I didn't make this up. I need to hear exactly what's being said this morning. A wise son, one made wise unto salvation, heareth his Father's instruction. You hear the gospel of God's grace. You perceive it in that new man, new heart, regenerated sinner. You hear the rebuke of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that His correction is bound up in His love for you. Let me read something for you out of Habakkuk 3:2. Hear it. Habakkuk said, O Lord, I heard thy speech, and I was afraid. Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Lord, I heard thy speech, and I was afraid. I read that just a few minutes ago, and I thought, afraid. Had to go back. See what it said. Here's what it is. Lord, I was in awe of your word. I was in reverence. Just to stop right now and realize this is God's word. Lord, help me. I don't want to be frivolous. I don't want to be just flippant, thinking about, you know, what time he's going to quit here. I mean, surely his time's almost up. I mean, Lord, I heard your speech. I was afraid. In awe and respect and reverence. Faith cometh by hearing in the heart. Faith cometh by... I know that I've got to hear. But I'm telling you, God's going to have to give me new ears before I'm over here. Hearing by the Word of God. This is the only thing that I hear. It's the only thing I need. Tell me once again what the Lord's done for me. What mercy that He would not leave us to ourselves. What mercy that He would rebuke us, chasten us in mercy, in compassion. Here's the second thing I know. The satisfaction of His grace. I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God's grace, mercy, counsel of God. Listen to the satisfaction. Here's the effect. It satisfies God's people. It satisfies them. Verse 2 says, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. Obviously, the truth that's recorded in Proverbs 12, verse 14, as this is what 12:14 says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. The recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. I know for a fact that God's people, regenerated sinners, are blessed by the Spirit of God's blessing of God's Word to them. I know that. Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many. I know that we sit here and we read God's Word, and we're blessed by it. We're blessed by the hearing of God's Word. I'm blessed by it. I need to hear exactly what this book, what this Word has to say. The one speaking feasts as well as the one that's hearing. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. That word due is his. A word spoken in his season. How good it is. My heart rejoices over what I hear, what I say. If it's consistent with God's Word, if Christ is honored, if Almighty God is exalted, I feast on that. But going back to the source of it, let's go to the source of it. The satisfaction that is had truly by a believer is realized when he understands that the source of him eating good is by the fruit of his mouth. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Christ's. He's the shepherd. He's the one that we hear. My sheep hear my voice. Actually, just the word his there is in italics. A man shall eat good by the fruit of mouth. The word. A man shall eat good. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They're going to be filled. They shall be filled. But the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. The unfaithful rebel that attempts to hide himself from God. The one that loves violence. Violence. Cruelty, wrong, injustice. That's what it is. The soul of the transgressors shall eat of cruelty. They're going to eat of wrong. They're going to eat of injustice. They're going to eat violence. They're going to have the fruit of their desire. Listen to Proverbs 18:7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. A man, a woman left to themselves, speaks things in their heart, and out of the heart, their heart, their mouth won't speak. They're going to speak disrespectfully of God's Word. They're going to speak irreverently of Christ as He's revealed in these Scriptures. You know what He's saying? This is what I want. This is what I want. I want to be rebellious against Him. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Oh, that God would give me a heart. Keep me. Preserve me. To eat of His Word. To desire. And then lastly, in this first message, the restraint of God's grace. That last verse we just looked at spoke of that personal benefit of the wrong as evidenced by the tongue. And this verse, next one, continues with that thought and deals with the effect of grace. A tongue that's guarded. Verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The psalmist says, Psalm 141:3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. You know, we all speak unwisely. Have you ever said something? And I think about what Brother Henry said one time. He said, before you speak, he said, number one, is it true? Number two, is it kind? Number three, is it necessary? Man, that sums them all up, doesn't it? It just... Have you ever, I know you have you ever said something, and then as soon as you said it, you thought, why did I say that? That wasn't necessary. I'd have just been so much better off if I'd have just keep my mouth shut. And I'm telling you, it's just, you know what it is? It's just this pride. I want you to know something that I know. Well, my feelings have been offended. But a mouth governed and tamed is a mouth that bows to the good providence of God and a mouth that evidences that I'm trusting Him. Oh, God, set a watch before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips. Lord, help me to just, when necessary, be quiet. Just be quiet. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. He that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Oh, how often has an unguarded tongue given place to the devil. How thankful I am for grace, mercy, forgiveness. How much time do we spend? Boy, can you see right here? Can you see the evidence of forgiveness of sin? Lord, pardon me. Oh, I'm so sorry. Pardon me. Pardon me. James says, for whence cometh envy and strife, there's confusion, every evil work, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without wrangling, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. He keeps himself from a multitude of trouble, heartache, misery. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Those that love to speak in defiance before Almighty God and His people. One that loves to stir up and be violent, who loves it. I see enough of that in myself, but I don't love it. I see it. I see it in action. I don't love it. Matthew 12, I'm closing with this. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 35 to 37. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringing forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they should give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words shalt thou be justified, by thy words shalt thou be condemned. Oh, how evident. Every idle word, useless, vain, given evidence of that old nature that's still there, A good man out of a good treasure's heart bringeth forth good things. Evil man out of an evil treasure, evil things. I say every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Can you imagine standing before God and not having one to answer for you? Those words, Father, that were spoken concerning my people were under the blood. Account was given. Account was given. But without a substitute. Can you imagine standing before God and having to give account of every idle word that you ever spoke? Oh, the blessing of declaring the whole counsel of God and hearing of God's mercy, God's grace. Thank you, Lord, that you won't hold me accountable. Thank you, Lord, that you will not charge me. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not charge, impute iniquity. May the Lord bless these words to our heart. For Christ's sake.